Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we've got more information on the pending approval for Giga Berlin. Also got an update on the Model S Plaid, news on the Canada FSD beta, another class action lawsuit against Tesla, Rivian, an update on their pricing move there, and a couple other items as well. Quick look at the stock. Tesla today down 4.6% to $839.29. The NASDAQ was down 1.6% on the day. Seemed to be concerns about rising oil prices and energy prices in general, leading to a higher inflation reading, leading to more aggressive interest rate increases, and that's just kind of the flavor of the day. We'll get more insight on that a week from today, next Thursday, an hour before market open. The CPI is reported, Consumer Price Index, for the month of February, and that'll be very heavily watched. All right, getting into the Tesla news, we've got huge news here for Giga Berlin. Of course, we talked about this possibility earlier this week, but we now have reports from both Handelsblatt and Der Tagesspiegel indicating that the German government indeed does intend to grant Tesla final approval for Giga Berlin tomorrow. According to information that both of these publications have received, Brandenburg's prime minister does plan to hold a press conference on this approval decision tomorrow, and other state ministers are also expected to be in attendance. So it seems like they're going to make a pretty big deal out of this final approval. I'm not sure exactly what time that's going to be. Der Tagesspiegel had updated their article, but a previous version had said that that was expected to be at 3:30 p.m. Friday afternoon. That's great timing in the United States as well. That'll be 9:30 a.m. Eastern time or right at market open. The fact that the previous report that we had had about this date also suggests that the other half of that rumor is probably accurate as well. And remember, that piece of it was that Tesla was planning to hold a factory opening ceremony of sorts on either March 22nd or 23rd, and at that event, hand over the first 30 Model Ys. So I know some of the reporting on this final approval has said that they can't actually fully start production yet. As I've said before, I think there's just a little bit of validation that's needed before those vehicles can then be sold. My interpretation is that, yes, you can start producing vehicles for sale, but once you start producing vehicles for sale, we just have to make sure that that whole process is going as expected, and then once we check that, then you can start actually selling those vehicles. So with Tesla having planned this event, the amount of pre-production vehicles that they have produced, that's not something that, as best as I can tell, should be reason for concern about any further delays. Then, of course, as we've talked about many times, that whole water permit hearing, that is tomorrow. Remember, Tesla does have enough water right now. There's no more approval needed there. This court case could potentially overturn an approval that they have to access the water that they need. That's why it is a risk, but hopefully that'll all just be smooth. And again, as we said before, I can't really imagine the German government scheduling this press conference about this final approval and then immediately having that overturned to whatever extent by this hearing. That being said, Der Tagesspiegel did report on comments from that water supplier today, saying that, quote, if we lose the permitted quantities for the Eggersdorf water supply tomorrow, then of course the next step for us is that we have to terminate the supply contract with Tesla because the quantities are no longer available, end quote. So that risk exists, but again, this is something that's already been approved. They're trying to get it overturned. Generally, that should be a little bit more difficult to do, so hopefully no issues. I have read that a decision on that case is expected the same day as the hearing. So assuming this all goes smoothly, it's tough to imagine a better time for this announcement of final approval to happen. Given the current international conflict, I think there's a very heightened awareness of the importance of energy independence, the importance of factories like this, and how fast those factories can be built. The timing here should definitely be a public perception tailwind for both Germany and Tesla. Overall, too, I would say that even though this has felt very much like a dragging process, if this is fully approved this quarter, if Tesla can actually start selling cars this quarter, then it really hasn't been all that bad. We know Tesla had originally targeted starting production last summer. So worst case, you're kind of talking about a 9-month delay. And for companies outside of Tesla, that's probably pretty good. And some of that delay definitely seems to have been on Tesla's end as well in terms of delays in filing some permitting things, changing some things with their battery factory filings. Plus, as Tesla has talked about, they've already been operating below capacity at Fremont and Shanghai because of supply chain issues. So in totality, while a little bit frustrating, I don't think this has been overly impactful. I hope that's the case. I want that to be the case because I want Tesla to be able to continue to expand there in Berlin rather than having spent all this time and then deciding that the bureaucracy is just too much to deal with and they just decide to say, all right, we'll cap it at that level, maybe 500,000 a year. There was a small and quite vague update on that today from RBB. They reported that, quote, authorities say that new applications for further expansion stages could soon be submitted, end quote. Not the strongest of language, but perhaps a little bit encouraging. They also say that according to RBB information, a production line for so-called power walls is also under discussion. So anyway, excited to see what unfolds here for Giga Berlin over the next few days and weeks, and a very exciting time for Tesla. I mean, Q1 is very, very likely to be by far the worst quarter for Tesla this year. It's already early March. We are already almost all the way through Q1. And don't mistake that for me saying it's going to be a bad quarter. It's going to be a good quarter, but we've now got Giga Berlin coming into the fold. We've now got Giga Texas coming into the fold. It's time to wake up again. We've been in a little bit of a lull here, just waiting for 4680, waiting for Cybertruck, waiting for Berlin, Texas, refreshed SNX capacity to finally get ramped up. Well, we're here. All of these things are happening a little bit later for the Cybertruck, but these things are now happening. And as we look at these upcoming quarters with a lot of these things coming into the fold, hopefully those quarters don't also contain 15% drops in the NASDAQ and the initiation of wars. Just giving a little bit of a nudge there that, hey, maybe this would be a good time to consider buying more Tesla. Not financial advice. I don't know your financial circumstances. I'm just saying I like the outlook. All right, next up, we've just got a few quick hitter Tesla news items. The first one is relevant to the Tesla Model S Plaid. Many of you may remember that when the Plaid first came out, a lot of drivers were getting kicked off of drag strips because for quarter mile times under certain thresholds, one of those being under 10 seconds, certain safety equipment and certifications are required, one such example being a roll cage. So the NHRA, the National Hot Rod Association, makes these rules, and those rules have now been updated. So for vehicles model year 2014 and newer, vehicles that essentially meet the OEM specifications for safety will be allowed to hit quarter mile times as low as 9 seconds flat and at speeds up to 150 miles per hour. A very welcome update, I'm sure, for many Plaid owners. Next update we've got is on the status of the FSD beta for Canada. Remember, they recently got the FSD beta request button. Elon was asked today if that was going to be a 7-day waiting period and then go to 100 safety scores only. Elon replied saying yeah, but then also added that maybe it would go to 98. So interesting to see that. If they do go down to 98 right off the bat here, that should be a pretty quick expansion for Canada. A lot of people should be able to get access at that level. Next up, we won't spend much time on this one either. We talked about stuff like this before, but CNBC out with an article last night talking about a class action lawsuit against Tesla and Elon Musk for the 2018 CEO Performance Award, saying it's excessive compensation. Now, I've shared my thoughts on this before. This has been very rewarding for all investors. I don't know how any investor could complain about how Tesla has been from an investment, especially since 2018. If it had not been successful for investors, Elon Musk would have made no money. I'm sure no one would have complained about his compensation under that scenario. So those are my thoughts on that. The next news, which we're getting as I am recording, and maybe we'll find out a little bit more information on, it's still early, but it sounds like there's a report from Bloomberg that Panasonic is intending to build a US battery factory to supply Tesla that would be separate from Giga Nevada. Street Insider is reporting on this, and they list Oklahoma and Kansas as candidates for this plant. So it could be pretty exciting. We'll definitely keep an eye on that, and maybe have a little bit more news on that tomorrow. All right, next up today, we are revisiting the pricing action that we had discussed from Rivian yesterday. They apparently heard the feedback because today they have announced that they are reversing that price change for any reservation holder that had ordered before the announcement. Those price changes, of course, do stay for any new orders. Yesterday, I was a little bit critical of the amounts of explanation that Rivian gave for those price increases, basically just saying, oh, inflation. In a letter today to those reservation holders, Rivian CEO RJ Scaringe providing more details and an apology. He writes that earlier this week, we announced pricing increases that broke the trust we have worked to build with you. Since originally setting our pricing structure, and most especially in recent months, a lot has changed. The costs of components and materials that go into building our vehicles have risen considerably. Everything from semiconductors to sheet metal to seats have become more expensive. And with this, we have seen average new vehicle pricing across the US rise more than 30% since 2018. That seems a little bit cherry-picked. I mean, a lot of that had happened before you guys IPO'd a few months ago. Half of that change was before even the start of 2021, and all of that had already been reflected by the time Rivian IPO'd. That's not to say that Rivian doesn't have increasing costs and doesn't potentially have legitimate reasons to increase their prices, but highlighting that statistic certainly feels like a bit of spin. Anyway, Rivian goes on to say that as we worked to update pricing to reflect these cost increases, we wrongly decided to make these changes apply to all future deliveries, including pre-existing configured pre-orders. We failed to appreciate how you viewed your configuration as price locked, and we wrongly assumed the announced dual motor and standard battery pack would provide configurations that would deliver price points similar to your original configuration. While this was the logic, it was wrong, and we broke your trust in Rivian. I do think that configured piece is a pretty big part of this because it wasn't just a reservation for some vehicle in the future, more similar to kind of the Cybertruck reservations. These were fully configured orders, really just waiting for delivery. Scaringe continues on saying, we also didn't manage communications well. We didn't give you enough insight into what was driving these decisions. The most important aspect of what we are building is our relationship with all of you. As we demonstrated earlier this week, trust is hard to build and easy to break. In speaking with many of you over the last 2 days, I fully realize and acknowledge how upset many of you felt. I've made a lot of mistakes since starting Rivian more than 12 years ago, but this one has been the most painful. I'm truly sorry and committed to rebuilding your trust. Goes on to talk more about learning from mistakes, also mentions that if you did cancel based on this update, you can actually reinstate your order at that old price. Definitely the right thing to do there. And then the email just kind of closes out with some commentary about the dual motor and standard range and continuing operations and such. So quite the couple days there for Rivian. As we talked about before, they had 71,000 reservations. The average price increase was probably somewhere around $15,000. So assuming Rivian could eventually sell those vehicles at that higher price, the cost of going back on this decision for Rivian is probably in the ballpark of $1 billion. So a tough decision here. I mean, I commend them for doing what they feel is right based on the feedback that they got. But as it sits now, pretty clearly a poorly managed situation. You upset your earliest customers. Going back on the increase definitely will help, but it's not going to undo that damage. And Skarin says as much in that letter. He says that they broke their trust, that goodwill is gone. And with the reversal here, it was given up for no gain. This also closes off a middle ground that would have been more protective of investors. Like we had talked about with Tesla's Roadster, they kept the base price the same, but they increased the price on a lot of options. I think many reservation holders would have been much more understanding if that had been the case from Rivian, or if the increases had been a little bit more modest and tracked closer to inflation. Those types of things are a lot easier to justify and more understandable for customers that, yes, are still going to be upset. That was already a given, or at least should have been, when Rivian decided to head down this path, but at least under a scenario like that, the aggregate understanding across that reservation pool is going to be quite a bit higher. Anyway, now with this reversal, a more middle ground like that that could have protected Rivian a little bit, that option is gone now too. Overall, just poorly managed, poorly communicated. I think even this apology letter doesn't do much in terms of an explanation. I mean, the only number they cite in there is 2018, like somehow that's a reference that matters. The whole thing strengthens my belief that the pricing that Rivian was listing had to do strongly with the timing of the IPO. I mean, there's a former employee that's suing them that basically said that their pricing was unrealistic before any of this even happened. And then I think in tandem with that, we're also seeing that Rivian is starting to realize that they're not going to be able to produce things as efficiently as they thought. Anyway, with how this has all unfolded, I'm sure we're going to see a lot of flipping activity for Rivian vehicles due to the stark price differences from a new order and these reservation orders. All right, the last thing for today, I just wanted to comment on something that has been, I don't know, making the rounds a little bit, not sure exactly why, but there's been some conversation about a statement in Lucid's 10Q quarterly filing. It says that, quote, "We do not expect to achieve positive cash flow from operations for several years, if at all," end quote. All right, look, there are plenty of reasons to be critical of these other EV makers. This is absolutely not one of them. Don't go through 10Q filings hunting for normally disclosed risks and try to make them into some sort of a gotcha type of statement. These are very normal statements for 10Q filings. Go back to Tesla's first 10Q. Here's a statement from that. Quote, "If we are to ever achieve profitability, it will be dependent upon the successful development and successful commercial introduction and acceptance of automobiles such as the Model S, which may not occur," end quote. Another area also highlights that some things are contingent on, quote, "our ability to successfully launch the Model S on time and on budget, if at all," end quote. Does that mean that they were never planning on launching the Model S? No, obviously not. Lucid's statement doesn't mean that they're not planning on ever becoming cash flow positive. They're just noting that it's possible that they don't, which is very obvious. And as far as taking several years to become cash flow positive, again, should not be surprising. Look at Tesla's history. Stuff like this is just annoying because people have done this against Tesla for its entire history. It's a silly thing to make a big deal about for Lucid, just like it is for Tesla. All right, with that, we will wrap it up for today. As always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. Also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, March 4th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.